Please open your Bibles to the book of Acts, the second chapter, Acts chapter 2, in your Scofield Reference Bible, that's page 1151, beginning with verse 37, we'll read responsively through verse 41. The 38th verse is the text verse for this morning's message. Once more, Acts chapter 2. Verse 37 through 41, page 1151 in your Scofield Bible. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Let's finish together with verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And let's pray. Father, what a good morning it's been. We've been privileged to sit in our Sunday school classes and to hear thy word taught. Thank you for faithful people. Thank you for those who attend this service today. We pray for our members, those who come regularly. We pray for those who visit with us. Blend us together as a unit to hear the word as it's preached now. Thank you for giving a message to our preacher. We bear a lot of responsibility to give every care and concern about listening to thy word as it's preached. Help us, we pray. Bless us with thy spirit's power in Jesus' name. Amen.
May I say what I always say on Lord's Supper morning. We're later than usual. In fact, we're a little later than we are usually on Lord's Supper morning. I promise you, and I've never broken this promise, about 10 minutes after 12, I'll be finished with my sermon. I have 27 minutes or less. I promise you also that we'll be dismissed, as we always are, by 12:30. Every Lord's Supper day I make you that promise. You'll not have to worry about what time I'll be finished, because I'll be finished by 10 after 12. If I'm out in the middle of the sermon, I'll stop it and keep my promise. And then by 12:30 or before, you'll be on your way. Now this morning, I'm not going to use the tool of humor at all. You'll not laugh again in this service, as far as I think now. I want to speak to you on a little line in the Bible that jumped out and bit me this week. It flashed on like a neon sign flashing on and off. And I want to talk to you about it. And I want to ask you to do me a favor. I'm keeping my promise. You'll be out by 12:10. Now, you owe it to me to listen to me the next 25 minutes. I ask everybody in this room, I'll not be using humor to hold your attention this morning. No plans for that. I'll ask you to listen to me very carefully. I'm going to read for you, without your turning to it, my text. Then Peter, and this is Pentecost, by the way, 50 days after Calvary. Now think about it, 50 days after Jesus was crucified, Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I call your attention four words. Every one of you. Every one of you. That's the title and text this morning. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Ever dawn on you who these every ones were? We're talking about just 50 days after Calvary. We're talking about 3,000 people got saved. Ever dawn on you who some of these people were? Every one of you, our Heavenly Father. I wish I had an hour and a half to bring this message this morning. And it's sort of a shame to spend as much time as I've spent on it and have it end so quickly. So I pray that you'd take my sermon, my preparation, my heart, my work, and use it briefly this morning to do something real. In Jesus' name, amen. My message this morning is not one that's practical. It is not one that is going to teach you anything. It's one that's going to cause you who are not saved to realize that you can be. And you who are saved to realize that you are. I was coasting along casually, traveling through the book of Acts, just reading casually as I do the Bible. When suddenly a phrase in verse 38 of Acts chapter 2 began flashing a red light. And there it was. Every one of you. And I do not know why I hadn't thought about this before, but suddenly I got to thinking about who these every one of you were. Every one of you. Do you understand to whom he was talking? 50 days after Calvary. Every one of you. Well, let's listen for a moment. I hear one speak. I was the one who gave the 30 pieces of silver. I was the one who took from my own pocket the 30 pieces of silver. And I gave them for the purpose of buying Judas Iscariot off. Certainly I couldn't be saved. I'm the one who donated the offering that caused Judas Iscariot to sell out the Savior. Could I be saved? Every one of you. Every one of you. But I was the one who persuaded Judas Iscariot. I did not give the money. But I was the one who talked to him. And I said to Judas Iscariot, I want to see Jesus betrayed. And I persuaded Judas Iscariot. I sold him on betraying the Savior. I couldn't be saved, could I? Peter, you're not talking to me. I couldn't be saved. I was the one who used my own persuasive personality to persuade Judas Iscariot to betray the Savior. I couldn't. You don't mean me. Every one of you. But I testified against him in the trial. I knew better. I'm one of those that stood there under oath and testified against Jesus Christ. I testified some things. I purged my own soul. I knew I was lying. And I testified against him so he could be called guilty, so he could be crucified. And I was one of those who falsely testified. You don't mean me. I couldn't be saved, could I? Every one of you. But I was a part of the mob who cried, crucify him. When time came to release a prisoner, Pilate said, whom should I release? Jesus of Nazareth or Barabbas? This man who was a criminal. And I was one who cried, crucify Jesus! Let Barabbas go! Crucify Jesus! You don't mean I could be saved, do you? You don't mean that God would forgive me and write my name in heaven and forgive my sins and justify me in His sight? You don't mean that I could be prepared for the second coming of Jesus Christ? Are you trying to tell me I could get saved? Every one of you. But I actually spat in his face. Another says, nothing is so humiliating as for someone to spit in your face. I've had it happen to me. I had a lady come by
a few years ago, after I'd preached the sermon, I was signing Bibles on the platform, and folks came by to shake my hand and greet me, and a lady walked up and absolutely spat in my face. Nothing so humiliating in this world. I was the one who spat in his face. My own spittle was placed on the face of the Son of God. You don't think he could save me? Peter, when you were preaching the gospel a while ago about being saved, you didn't mean me to turn me down just a bit, please. You didn't mean me, did you? Could I be saved? Every one of you. Every one of you. Another says, when I was a soldier who used a cat of nine tails, I took the handle of that whip, and on that whip were little pieces of metal up and down that whip, and there were nine whips on that one handle. And 39 times I lashed the back of the Son of God. I saw the blood begin to ooze. I saw the flesh broken. I saw him become worse. You could hardly even tell he was a human. I'm one of those that lashed the back of Jesus with a cat of nine tails. You don't mean I could be saved. You don't mean my sins could be forgiven. You don't mean my name could be written in heaven. Every one of you. Another says, not me. I mocked him. When he cried on the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what to do. Turn me down just, PM in, turn me down a bit. When they cried on the cross, Father, he cried, Father, forgive them. They know what they do. Do you know what I did? I said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I mocked him. When he cried, Behold thy son, and mother, behold, son, behold thy mother, and looked at John and looked at his mother, I said, Behold thy mother, and behold thy son. I mocked him. I knew I was wrong, but I didn't want to be different. Everybody else was listening to rock music, so I listened to rock music. Everybody else was watching Oprah, so I watched Oprah. I'm saying everybody else was doing it. I knew it was wrong, but I absolutely mocked him when he said to the thief, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I said, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And then when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I actually stood at the foot of the cross and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When he cried, I thirst. I said, I thirst. In thy hands I commend my spirit. In thy hands I commend my spirit. It is finished. I actually mocked him and said, It is finished. You don't mean that I could be saved. You don't mean God would forgive that kind of a sin. Peter, you're not talking about me. Every one of you. But I painted a sign over his head. I was the one that painted the sign that said, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. I mocked his kingship. I had some suspicion he might be the king. I had some suspicion he might be the Messiah, but I would rather be popular and go along with the crowd than to stand up for him. And I actually painted the sign that was put over his head, the King of the Jews. You don't think I could be saved? Every one of you. I am. Peter. You don't mean me. I was the one that cut down that tree. I absolutely was the one that made that cross. I cut down that tree, and I put one perpendicular and then one across it horizontally, and I made the cross. Jesus died on the cross that I made. He wouldn't save me. He wouldn't have been on a cross if I hadn't have made the cross. You don't mean I could be saved. You don't mean God would forgive me for making the cross. Every one of you. Hallelujah. But I provided the nails, says another. I actually nailed him to the cross, says a soldier. These hands gripped a hammer. And with these hands that and this arm, that hammer was wielded, and actually I drove the nails in his hands and feet. Are you listening to me? I crucified him. I was one of the soldiers. He wouldn't forgive me. You're not talking to me. Peter says, every one of you. I gave him vinegar to drink. Could I be saved? Every one of you. I was one of those who arrested him. I was one of those that came up. I said to Judas Iscariot, you kiss him on the cheek and I'll know which one he is. And Judas Iscariot came. Look at me. I'm preaching to you. Judas Iscariot kissed him on the cheek. And I said, you're under arrest. I said to the Son of God, you're under arrest. I was the one who arrested him. Could I be saved? Every one of you. I cast the spear in his side. Every one of you. I plaited the crown of thorns that was placed on his brow. Every one of you. I pulled that crown of thorns on his brow and mocked him as a king. Every one of you. I am a scribe who scandalized him. I wrote in the local newspapers about him and I editorialized he was a fake. He was an imposter. And now I realize he was the Son of God. He's risen from the dead. I never dawned on me he'd rise from the dead. Oh, my soul, I wish I had never penned what I penned against him. Would God save a scribe? Every one of you. I'm a Pharisee who plotted his death. Every one of you. I'm Pilate. I knew better. My wife warned me. I knew better. But I wanted to be popular. I wanted my office more than I wanted to do what was right. And I knew that Jesus Christ was somebody special. I am Pilate. I actually sat on the bench and judged him and gave a commandment and an order for him to be crucified. Are you listening? I am Pilate. You don't mean me. Every one of you. But I'm Herod. I sort of made light of him. I could have freed him. I had the power to let him go. But I heard he could open blind eyes, and I said, open a few blind eyes for me. I heard he caused deaf ears to hear. Open a deaf ear for me. I've heard about it. Like you'd go to a carnival and listen to watch a magician perform. I'm Herod. I could have freed him. He was crucified because I did not let him go. No, he wasn't. He was crucified because love would not let him go. You think an old Herod like me, you don't mean me. Every one of you. I am Annas the high priest. No longer the officiating high priest, but the most powerful man in the Judaism. He was before me. I couldn't be saved. Every one of you. I'm Caiaphas, the officiating high priest. I propose the death of Jesus Christ. Look, see that tongue right there? See that those lips? Through those lips, from that tongue, came the proclamation that Jesus be crucified, that he die. He wouldn't save me, would he? Thank God, every one of you. I'm a bus kid. I live in the ghetto. I seldom see my daddy. I live in hell on earth. My mama doesn't teach in Sunday school. My daddy doesn't sing in the choir. He's not a deacon. How about me? Every one of you. Well, I'm a street person. Concrete is my mattress. The curb is my pillow. Newspapers are my covering, my quilt, my comfort, and my blanket. I eat from what I can find left over. I look for a cigarette butt. beside the curb. You think God would save me, a street person? Every one of you. Brother Hiles, I'm a mission man. My life is pretty well ruined. I have no holidays with my family. Christmas is just another day at the mission for me. Oh, it may be somebody may send us to eat a bite at a restaurant, but I'm not around with my family's table on Thanksgiving. I messed up my life. I stumbled into the mission as a son. I've ruined my life. Mission man said to me, Brother Hiles, with these hands, I murdered a man. Are you listening? I killed a man with these hands. God wouldn't save me, would he? Every one of you. I'm a prostitute in Northwest Indiana, in Calumet City. I've been a prostitute for 20 years. I've sold my body to the hands of wicked men, just like Judas sold out the Savior for a few pieces of silver. I've taken that which is holy and sacred and smeared it. I've been a merchandiser of flesh. Would God save me? Every one of you. But I own 5 taverns in Calumet City, said one. I own 5 taverns in Calumet City. I've contributed to the death of people who were killed in car accidents because of my liquor I sold. I've broken homes. I've broken lives. I've caused orphans. I've caused disease. I've caused heartache like all the other dirty liquor eaters have. Would God save me? Every one of you. But I run the Seven Seas Lounge. I actually have naked women dancing in the Seven Seas Lounge. True story a few years ago. I certainly couldn't be saved. That very man that said that got under conviction one night because the tracks we bombarded that place with, went home, told his wife, I hate that Hiles fellow, but he's getting through to me. And he got saved. Now pastors a church up in Michigan. I'm trying to say, oh, everyone that thirsteth, come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. Every one of you can come to Calvary. Every one of you can be saved. Every one of you can have your sins forgiven. Every one of you can be justified. Every one of you can have your sins taken off of the record of glory. And every one of you can be a child of God. Every one of you. I'm a policeman in Hebron, Indiana. I'm a big guy, strong. I pretty well messed up my life. I've tasted the dregs of Satan. Somebody invited me to church here. One of the part-time policemen on the police force there in Hebron. You think God would save me after what I've done? Every one of you. Brother Hiles, I'm living with a woman, and the person's here this morning. I'm living with a woman, not my wife. I came to hear you preach. I believed what you said. The morning I came to hear you preach, you preached the sermon, Come and See. I came and I saw. And I've quit my drinking, I've cleaned up my act. You think that God would save a man living with a woman that's not his wife? You think God would save a man that's been down to the bottom? That's what Calvary is all about. Every one of you. He said, I'm a male prostitute. You won't believe this story, but it's true. He said, I have a body that is slightly built. It's no problem for me to dress up in a woman's garment. I did so. I dress like a beautiful woman. I lure rich men in Chicago. They think I'm a female. They take me to their apartments or their hotel rooms. And they pay me thinking I'm a woman. While they're in the bathroom dressing for bed, I take the money they've given me and tiptoe out the window and run. That's the way I make my living. Would God save me? Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Hallelujah! It's every one of you. She said, I'm owned by a dozen millionaires. They went together and bought me a penthouse. The Gold Coast in Chicago. They leave me in that penthouse. I drive the nicest cars, wear the nicest clothes, and live in that penthouse. And anytime any of these millionaires want me, they just come there and have me. And that's the way I live. And she said, I came to hear you preach, and I heard about the gospel. And I heard that Jesus died to save me. Would God save me? Every one of you. She said, in my office, I was born a girl. I always wanted to be a man, a boy. I did boys' things, and I liked things that boys like. I didn't want to be a girl. When I got old enough, I bought a business. I run a business, she said. Actual story. I run a business. On Calumet Avenue. I own it. She said, I had several operations to turn me from a female to a male. Now she said, As a woman, I owned that business on Calumet Avenue. Less than 10 blocks from where I stand right now. As in the daytime, I owned that business. I'm a woman. I get in my car, drive to Lansing where I live at night, change my clothes, put on male clothing, and am a man at night. By night, I'm a married man. By day, I'm a woman who owns a business. I'm married legally. I'm in the IRS. I'm registered as a woman. I'm a man by marriage. She said, would God have me? Every one of you. I expect that means a little boy, 12 years old, a boy, 10 years old, in Dallas, Texas, in the ghettos. That means you. You say, preacher, would God save me? Every one of you. Would God forgive me? Every one of you. Could I have my name written in heaven this morning? Every one of you. Thank God today. We'll be singing in a few minutes. Leave your seat. Walk down the nearest aisle. Come down to the front. Let us tell you how your sins can be forgiven. You say, not me. Oh, yes, Peter said to the folks who had just crucified the Son of God, every one of you. Come, every soul, by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. Would you bow your heads, please?